4HKX, N4ZLK.
4HKX, what's up, Shane?
Just wanted to check on you. I heard you talking to Bill earlier, but I was getting out of the vehicle so I could get into my other vehicle.
Yeah, because I know what that other vehicle is doing. It's taking you home.
So you doing good? I heard you were out today for a little while.
Today, I went and packaging stuff up. Still got stuff remaining to ship back, and I got to get it done this week. And then went and had lunch with another ham radio operator up here in Hendersonville, and come back and work some more on the tool truck. And I was sitting there relaxing, and a friend of mine's apartment lives right out the road here. He had a flat tire on his patrol car, and no way he asked if I'd come over and help him. So I did.
Tell me there's not a county maintenance person that would come out and do it for him.
I really don't know, and I'm so disappointed with this county government up here, I hesitate to ask.
Bit about that the other day. It's crazy. Yeah, well, I guess, I don't know. Would they take it out to put police equipment in there or what?
I got over there. It had everything it needed. They just didn't know where to look for it because it's a brand new patrol car, one of the new Ford Explorers. And not everything is together in one place like you would think because of space confinement. So the jack and lug wrench are separate from the spare tire. So I showed them where it was at and helped them get it changed and got them back on the road.
To hide things, I remember the first time I was looking for the jack for the excursion. I ended up having to pull the book out, and I was looking all over, and then, you know, it made sense once I realized it, but I didn't think to open that little tiny compartment in the back of the truck, you know, that had the little pull-out tab or whatever, that the jack might be in there.
There's a jack, jack handle, funnel, extra ball mount, and ball receiver, you name it in mine, so I've got it jammed full of stuff.
As it opened up and I could put stuff in there, I carried extra stuff, some oil and stuff like that in there, rags and things, but I never put a ball mount in there. I guess could have made it. Is there a full-size spare tire on that patrol car?
I was pleasantly surprised to see that.
A requirement, but what do I know?
Sure it is on the interceptor requirements, and that's the space confinement issue they run into. And it's not like they've hid it. All you had to do is fold the seat forward, but that's a little bit more effort in a patrol car because they use back seats for other things.
Whatever I think of a full-size spare tire, whenever I think of a full-size tire like that, I think of a story Beth's dad told me back when they first started coming out with those smaller donut tires, probably, I'm going to say 80s, but it could have been earlier than that. He was making a deal on a brand new car, and they looked in the trunk and he saw, you know, had this little donut tire in there, and so he said, can you put in a full-size spare tire? And they're like, I don't know if we can do that. And he said, okay, I'll see you. And they had already, you know, worked out a pretty good deal. And the guy said, you mean you're going to walk away over a spare tire? And he said, you mean you're not going to sell me a new car over a spare tire?
I've heard that several times, but I'll tell you one better than that. GM doesn't put a spare tire in the back of a lot of their cars. They put a bottle of slime and an air compressor. That's your tire, your flat tire repair. You blow the whole sidewall out of it.
You can tell that slime hardens up.
I think you'll be there a while.
Trying to save space and put things wherever they can, but yeah, that's ridiculous. That's that should be a necessity.
Get on that tire so you can limp along to somewhere to get a tire fixed. At least that, and a way of changing it.
People zipping around the roads on those donut tires, and I don't think they realize they're not supposed to go over a certain speed. So they must be more heavy duty than they advertise on the side, you know, when you go to put it in.
Actually, they're not. Some of them are only rated for like 35 to 45 mile an hour. I've never seen one over 55, but that's rare to see that. And they're only rated for, you know, 50 miles, and then they're done. You got to replace the tire.
Sam, I've seen going back and forth to work, you know, you leave the same time, you start seeing similar cars, or the same cars. And I've seen people driving on those, you know, for several days in a row.
Well, yeah, I've seen them driving on them for months. And then when that one blows, I just grab one out of another car and put it on. They'll go to the junkyard, and that's what they do.
In Simpsonville, he's a little bit older than me. I could say a lot older. I don't know how old he is. His daughter was in class with me, so he's my parents' age. My mother's 84. But he used to say, or he would tell us that when he was a kid and they'd go on family trips, they would expect to have a flat tire if they're going to go 50 miles or more. They would just know they're going to have a flat tire along the way at some point.
And the bi-fly tires were still around. But I remember when the transition from bi-fly to radial is in our lifetime. So I remember everybody when that radial is a new thing, you know, how much better it rides and handles with a radial tire versus a bi-fly tire. I remember all those commercials.
I just didn't know anything about them. You know, wasn't really paying attention to tires. I just knew they were on cars and expected them to work. So, but I do remember the transition. And, you know, this car comes with radial tires. It's kind of like I remember when they would advertise cars on the car lot that, with air conditioning. So you didn't even have to ask for it.
That started happening right around the end of the 80s when air conditioning started becoming more prevalent and started becoming standard on certain cars. It was into the 90s before it becomes standard on pickup trucks.
I guess I know how those old people feel now, because it doesn't seem like it was that long ago, and yet so much has changed.
That's the truth. I mean, you stop and think about, you know, I just turned 50 this year. What has changed from 1975 to 2025, that 50-year span, how society has changed, how the world has changed, technology. It's just crazy how quick and fast things are moving.
On computers, W4BDR.
And it's hard to reboot them. You can't just push a button and get them to work right again. Good evening, N4ZLK.
No doubt. I've been listening to you guys talk about the tires, and much to my chagrin, because I've been dealing with 18-wheeler tires all day today. But, yeah, I mean, everything has changed. Everything has changed.
And I know we've spoke before, but I cannot remember your name. This is KO4HKX, Patrick.
Hey, Patrick. Name here's Brian.
On big trucks, doing mobile work. I know we talked last week about that.
I mean, I do mobile work, but I work for a shop, and I'm a mobile mechanic on the side.
I'm Shane here. I might even have heard that conversation with Patrick a little bit, but it's nice to make your acquaintance.
Nice to meet you, too, as well, sir.
Well, your age you are, but I know you can, if you've been around the industry any at all, you can vouch for how quick it's changed and how much in a short period of time.
Vehicles in the military in 1994, so I know, I've seen the changes.
Your vehicles all look like they came out of the 1950s or 60s. Not much has changed there, has it? I'm joking, of course.
They don't come standard with air conditioning either.
Porthole in it, don't they?
I'm yeah, I drove in Afghanistan. I drove a wrecker. I was a wrecker operator, and we had the porthole up there with the 50 caliber machine gun on there.
Much heat, I'll bet.
All right, man, that thing was god awful.
And you hated to have to use that thing, I'm told.
Oh, absolutely, but I mean, when it, you know, when you had to use it, you had to use it, and it came in handy, that's for sure.
Service, we really appreciate it.
Served. I was glad to do it. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed my 8 years in the service.
Brian?
I work for Travel Centers of America over there in Duncan at the truck repair facility.
Centers have changed just in the 11 years I've been driving them. From what I started out in to what they are now. And I like the older ones better.
You know, I hear a lot of drivers say the same thing. They prefer the older tractors, especially with the older engines in them and stuff. Yeah, I mean, even the tractors, everything's become computerized even with them.
All this emission stuff that they've got it on, is the reliability has taken a major hit.
And we've got, like, you know, all these regulations that we have to follow. Like, if somebody turns off the DEF or anything like that, they shut it down. We can't even touch their vehicle.
Normally, I just punch in and drive the tractor, and if anything's wrong with it, I ride it up and let somebody else take care of it.
That too, but, I mean, their transportation companies won't fix a lot of stuff that needs to be repaired. They'll bring them to DOT compliance, but that's about the extent of it.
Absolute bare minimum.
Oh, absolutely. It's crazy. It's kind of scary, actually.
We were talking to our mechanic, and he was telling me that several years ago, whatever you had to take off to get to whatever you needed to fix, you would put new all the way back on. And now they have to... they struggle to even get them to buy the part they need that's broken or doesn't work or whatever. Sometimes they'll just let it sit and get permission to order the part. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, for us, sometimes that permission takes hours. So the driver's sitting there just with downtime while we're waiting on their company to approve even something as simple as a tire repair or a new tire.
And what's their driver? We ain't paying him nothing if he ain't moving.
Time. It's crazy. It's sad, really.
Well, I'm not moving, especially if it's on a breakdown. I don't have to worry about that. But they try to either bring out a rental. They spend so much money on rentals and towing when if they would just let them fix it properly to begin with, they wouldn't have to worry about it so much.
Towing, I know the company that we use, when we have to have, you know, a truck towed, it's like $1,000 just to hook up. And then it's like $200 a mile or something like that. It's crazy expensive.
I never had to have my truck towed.
You know, it was just such an unsafe situation for me that I told the guy, man, you need to have it towed to a safe location or have your company call the highway patrol and have them block off this road so I can work.
At all. You got to look out for yourself because nobody else is going to do it.
No doubt. Well, I mean, it's company policy. I mean, we've got to stay safe. I mean, that's like they preach that ad nauseum to us all the time. So, I mean, it's, you know, they're like, if you don't feel safe, don't do it.
Thing to have when you've got common sense minded people. So, some of our employees, they'll say, they're making deliveries to a house or something. They'll say, if you don't feel safe, if there's a dog there, don't deliver it, and I would show up the next day and look at the dog and think, what in the world? They just didn't want to get out of the vehicle.
Well, we take pictures of everything, and they've got cameras on our service trucks and all that, so they can see, you know, get a visual, you know, of what we're looking at as well, so they know.
Working for a pretty good place to work. At least they want you to stay safe.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's owned by BP, you know, so, I mean, they're you know, you get the typical corporate BS, but, I mean, overall, it's a great place to work. I enjoy it there.
I guess that you like what you do, so I'm sure you got a lot of experience working on stuff in the military.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy what I do. I mean, there's days that I don't, like today, but, you know, I mean, it was just one thing after another today, but, you know, I do. I've enjoyed it for a long time.
I don't think anybody enjoys tires of any kind, no matter what size they are.
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, I deal every day with those big truck tires, and I had to take the tire off of a Volkswagen car the other day to do a brake job for the guy. And it was like, the size difference was like overwhelming. I was like, what do I do with this little thing?
Probably more aggravating to change than the big tire is.
It's lighter, that's for sure.
It's going from one to the other. I remember as a kid, I used to see truck drivers, and I knew they drove other, you know, drove their personal cars at some point. And as a kid, I couldn't understand how they could tell the difference or how much it would affect them. Of course, I do it every day now, so I don't think twice about it. But I remember having that thought. Do they find it difficult to get back into the smaller vehicle?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt they do.
You know, I did. Getting into out of the tool truck into a little car or something like that. It's like night and day difference, and it took a few miles before you felt comfortable, or I did anyway.
The military vehicles, I mean, you know, the record I had was a Hemet, and it was eight-wheel drive, you know, with a big 40-foot boom on it, so it was a pretty big truck.
Stepping out of an F-16 into your little Toyota.
Well, gentlemen, it was good to talk to both of you. Be safe out there traveling around. And, Brian, again, appreciate your service, and thank you for all you've done. And, Shane, Brian, I'll talk to you both of y'all later. I'm going to get in here and rest for a little bit. This is KO4HKX, and I'll be clear for now. 7-3.
I'm about 6 minutes from destinating anyway, so I'll let y'all later as well. This is W4BDR.
Have a good night, and good to hear you. I'm glad you're doing well. The rest of the way, and we'll talk again. And 4ZLK.